Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm excited to have you here. We're going to be talking about 7 keys to a successful move from corporate to Christian ministry. And our guest today is Peggy Boddy. We're going to be talking about the most important thing to remember as you transition, one of the biggest mistakes people make and how to avoid it, the key demographic to clarify before you leave your day job, where to find and how to reach the people you want to serve, the hidden value of your corporate experience, the best path for avoidance of overwhelm and discouragement, and a simple yet surprising truth that may save the day. Our guest today is Peggy. She is a former vice president who resigned from corporate in 2014 to start a freelance writing business. She has founded Sacred Work, a ministry that provides free career, and leadership coaching for women. To learn more, you can visit her website at peggybodie.com. And I'm super excited to welcome you right now to the stage. Yay, Peggy.
Hi, Marnie. I'm so happy to be here with you, friend.
You know, what's so funny is that we've known each other now, I don't know what, 2 years, maybe.
2 years.
Yeah. And I don't know how to say your last name.
It's Boddy. That's okay. Yours is a tough close. One too.
Swedberg. Anyway, yeah, it's so fun. So you guys, I know Peggy through LinkedIn. We are part of what we call a LinkedIn team, and we support each other's LinkedIn profiles so that we can reach more people with encouraging messages of hope in their busy work days. And this is such a fun outreach. I just can't even express how much I've enjoyed getting to know you over the past couple of years through this ministry. Yeah.
Same here, Marnie. Your positivity is contagious. I love it. And I'm so grateful to be part of our little community on LinkedIn.
Yeah, so fun. Well, we're going to be talking today about how to move from corporate. And you just recently did this.
Yes. So I definitely have had a season of transition in the last few years, for sure.
Yeah. So I'm excited to pick your brain now. And we've got some questions for you and some talk points here that we want to go through for others who are considering making the move, or maybe just did it and are freaking out a little bit. So,
which is normal.
Right. Join the club, right? Okay. Yep. So what's the most important thing to remember as you transition from corporate or full-time, I'm just going to include here, a full-time paid job into something that you're doing on your own?
I think the most important thing to remember is to make sure that God is at the heart of your why. So this is going to ensure that your ministry is sustainable. And I have to tell you, I've been studying Elijah and I can't stop talking about this Bible study. And I think it's so interesting because when he has the big showdown on Mount Carmel, he does everything to prepare the sacrifice except start the fire. And that's because the fire is God's job and God's glory. And it really made me think about the endeavors I've pursued when God wasn't at the heart of it. And those fires aren't sustainable. But on the flip side, if God is at the heart of our ministry, he'll fuel us and he'll anchor us in anytime the transition gets bumpy. And it's guaranteed to get bumpy.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I always use the illustration that we are the straw. We're not supposed to be the water. Jesus is the living water. We are the straw. We're supposed to be submerged in Jesus and let other people suck from our lives. And when we get unsubmerged from Jesus and we're just counting on our own selves, well, then they get whatever best we have to give, or even some days super toxic. But if we're submerged in Jesus, then like you say, the fire doesn't run out. It doesn't matter how much water is splashed on that fire. If it's the Holy Spirit's fire, we're not in trouble.
That is the truth. And it's important to have this starting point because then it makes all of the other steps and the rest of the transition doable and sustainable.
And all the freak out moments, you just run to Jesus because you're already working with him. He's like, yes, he's like your CEO and he's the one you run to. So. What's one of the biggest mistakes people make when they're transitioning, and how can we avoid it?
So one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they go into ministry is they're not clear about what they're offering. We have to know what we're offering. So there's some questions that we can ask ourselves to help clarify this. Like, what problem am I solving? How am I going to solve it? What challenge am I helping someone overcome? What gap am I filling? So it really helps to sit down and brainstorm answers to these questions, because if we're not clear on what we're offering, then other people aren't going to be clear either.
Right. It's that verse, you know, make the vision clear, and without a vision, the people perish. You know, it's so important that we're really clear in that. Do you do, now I have at marnie.com at the mentorship, I have a mission vision training that's available there. It's part of the mentorship program where you can take it separately. Do you also offer something like that?
I offer specific help on challenges that, you know, so if someone were starting a ministry and they wanted help on how to outline that or how to develop a mission statement to get going on that, I would help them. That's part of my ministry. So any career or leadership challenge, ministry challenge, I will help them for free.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's amazing. And there is a cost to the one over at marnie.com, just so you know. I do a bunch of stuff for free, but that one has a cost on it. Yeah, but it's so, I love mission and vision work, because it is what, you know, between that and setting parameters, I feel like those are the two kind of things that give you such a rock solid foundation so that you can get up and know what you're supposed to do and what all you're not supposed to do. And I think, I'm not sure which is more important even, because what happens is, especially when you're just transitioning, it's like everything, you and I were just talking about it before we came live. How do you know what to say yes to and what to say no to? And a lot of it is back to that mission vision, and what is God calling you to do? And what are your parameters? Like, how much time are you supposed to spend on this? How much money are you supposed to invest? How much of your relationships are you supposed to set aside or change to make this happen? And when we don't have that really clear, we get in trouble pretty easily.
That's true. That mission is our compass. You know, we've already talked to God about it. We set our mission, and then that's our compass to guide us and keep us from making decisions that can overextend us. So,
right. And I always think too, that what we're really doing with mission, vision work and parameters is we're really exposing what God has already called us to do. We're clear, making that clear.
That's
so
beautiful.
It's like the difference between a cloudy day and a sunshiny day. Let's get those clouds out of the way and see what God's saying so we can move forward.
That's awesome. I love that.
So you talk about the key demographic to clarify before you leave your day job. And there are some things that you do need to really think through before you make that step. A lot of times God puts a vision in your heart that's not supposed to happen for a while. You're supposed to stay where you are for a bit until things get into place. And even in the Bible, we see, you know, 10 years for Joseph and 10 years for, you know,
lots of waiting.
In 15 years for David and 100 years for Abraham and 100 years for Noah. And it's like, whoa, you know, that's just a long time before stepping out. But what do you think the key demographic is?
So once you've established what your offering is, then it's really important to know who you're serving. So people start ministries because they want to help other people, but we have to narrow down the demographic. Otherwise, what we have to offer others will get lost in the masses. So it's important that we're as specific as possible. And, you know, Marnie, you just mentioned waiting. And I think that this planning that we're talking about, what is the offering? Who are we serving? That's part of, that's what God entrusts us to do in that waiting period before we start our ministry. So as far as a demographic, for example, I serve Christian professional women. That's my demographic. I have a friend whose ministry helps kids that are aging out of foster care.
Very, very different.
very different, very specific. So it's so funny you mentioned mission statement, and that was something I wanted to cover, and we just kind of briefly talked about it. But I think, just to reiterate, it's really important to maintain clarity on what we're offering and who we're serving. And that mission statement will come into play again here when we're talking about the demographic. And it can just be a sentence. You know, some people get tripped up on a mission statement. Mine is, My purpose is to empower professional Christian women by providing them free mentoring and resources. It's not a marketing plug or anything like that. It's my compass, like we were talking about earlier. It keeps me focused.
Yeah. It's like the racehorse and they put the blinders on, you know, so the racehorse doesn't get all distracted by all the fun stuff going around all around it. You know, it's like, this is your race. You run it.
Exactly. Yeah. This is my offering. Yeah. This is who I'm serving. Come back to it time and time again.
I call my coaching courage and clarity because I say, if you've got the call of God, so you've got the clarity, that's awesome. Now you know who you're supposed to reach, right? And so that's awesome. But if you don't have the courage, then you're just too scared to do it. But if you have courage, that's awesome. Now you can go out there. But then if you don't have the clarity, then you're just running around like a chicken with your head cut off, you know, getting into trouble.
And I resemble that.
When you have both the courage and the clarity, it's like a laser. It's like a laser beam, and it cuts through the thick walls that the enemy has erected out there in the world and in people's hearts. And you're able to actually accomplish the work God has put you on the earth to do. And I know that's your ministry, is to help women to step fully into that role.
Yes, that is my ministry. And that's a perfect visual. I love your visuals, Marnie. You are gifted.
I'm a words person. I see them.
I like that.
So once you identify who you're supposed to reach out to, how do you find them?
So once we're clear on what we're offering and who we're serving, we have to figure out how to bridge the gap between the two. So my background is in supply chain, and in the business world, you know, this is supply and demand. There's a customer who has a need, the business steps in to fill it. A ministry operates the same way. So we have to bridge the gap between what we're offering and who we're serving. And the way to do that is to create a marketing plan. And it could be social media, a website, word of mouth, advertising, or a combination, you know. Some ministries are boots on the ground. Mine is mostly virtual, so they're a little bit different. But whatever it is, we have to have a plan, because that's what's going to connect our offering to the people we want to serve.
Yeah. So I like to say, where are your people hanging out? Like, not online too, but actually in the flesh, where do they go to hang out with other people who have the same interests as your ministry or your niche is meeting, you know, and try to identify that. I think it's so important to start being with them if you're not already with them.
That's true. That's a really good point. In my case, I started mentoring women way before I left corporate. So for a couple decades. So during that time, I built up a network of people in person that I had helped. So after I left corporate, a lot of women who found me and came to me for help heard about me through word of mouth. Yeah. So that gave me a really solid platform to build on. Because I help professional women, you know, obviously I find a lot of them on LinkedIn. So I really focus and invest a lot of my time there. One positive thing that's come out of COVID, I think, is that virtual interaction has become more commonplace. And I think that's opened the doors for other people to start and maintain ministries, even though they can't get out, you know, one-on-one with people. So I think we have to be creative. And I love what you said. Where do the people that you want to serve hang out? And for each person's ministry, that's going to look a little bit differently. It just takes some thought and some planning.
I think one of the things that's really helped me too is to not always have to go as the person selling something or representing something, but to just go and listen. Like, the people I want to serve, what are they saying? What are they talking about? What words are they using to describe how they're feeling? It's like, you can really get a lot of heart if you'll just go humbly, instead of going like you feel like you have to be promoting your business all the time. And when it's time to promote, promote. But there's also time to just learn and listen and just meet people and greet their hearts.
That's true. And when you have conversations, you can also, that'll help you identify, you know, what are the pain points? Like for me, you know, what are the pain points that professional women are facing in today's world, you know, in the corporate environment today? And you nailed it. I mean, we learn so much from listening. And by listening, then that empowers us to turn around and use what we're gathering to help people to address those pain points. So I think that's really important. Listening is a great start always.
It's interesting. I went to a conference recently that I was presenting at several times. And the whole time I came home and I said to my husband, I said, the whole time I felt like I was talking people out of joining womenspeakers.com. It's like God had one person after another come to me and say, I think I'm maybe supposed to join this. And I'd get down to their heart, and their heart wasn't about speaking at all. Their heart was about something else completely, but they saw me. They were drawn to my heart because Jesus, they were drawn to Jesus in me. And so they came thinking, oh, maybe I should hop on her train. And the most important thing we can do is lead people to their God-given calling. And if that doesn't happen to be with you, well, then get them with who they're supposed to be with. It's more important to be of service than it is to get a sale or to, you know, make a contract or, you know, I think we kind of, especially when you're in the transition and the money thing is so pressure, you have this pressure. And I just want to encourage you that God's going to take care of you. If you're doing what he's called you to do, he's going to take care of things. And you can just kind of relax now. And even though it's a lot of hard work, I don't mean relax like stay in bed. I mean, relax like all those anxious thoughts. Keep giving them to Jesus. Give them to Jesus and receive the rest that he wants to give you, the peace that he wants to give you in the, amongst that precious. And just do what he calls you to do and let the rest go. It's blinders. It's like, okay, you came to me. So now I get to minister to you. But are you to go on with me? I think we're just supposed to be friends and maybe not do business. You know,
that's really powerful. And it makes me think real quick. You know, what I do is I help women with specific problems that they're having in the workplace. Yeah. But if a woman comes to me and wants, a structured coaching program in leadership or career, then I refer her because that's not for me. So I love what you said, you know, that the end goal is to glorify God and help and serve whoever's coming to us. And that may be with us, but it may be with someone else. And that's okay.
Yeah. And I love that. And I think earlier on when I was newer to listening to God in this way, I think I felt like it was a big temptation to get them signed up or to get them hooked up, you know, with me. Let's, you know, then I could keep track of what they were doing and I could help them more. Or I could, you know, at least, you know, get a sale or, you know, something. It was like, it was like there was pressure that way. And I'll just tell you that as you go closer, as you walk closer and farther along with Jesus, that pressure even will fade away. And that, that need to be, I call it the God complex, the need to be the savior for this person who needs help. God can use anybody. He doesn't have to use me. Sometimes I get to be used. I mean, that's kind of the different perspective as I think sometimes he chooses to use me and sometimes it's not the full gamut of what I have to offer. Sometimes it's just a little word.
That is so true. I mean, you already spoke into my life before we got on the call. So in a very profound way. So yeah, I love what you said. Jesus will guide and direct to what extent he uses us for each person. Right. If we look to him, he's faithful to show up.
I mean, I could just honestly tell you, Peggy, that years ago, I used to be mad. That event planners weren't asking me to speak more than they were. I mean, I didn't even know who they were. And somehow I felt like they owed me something. And I look at it now and I think, wow, that was such a self-centered, self-motivated longing that caused me to feel angry at people I'd never even met because they didn't know to invite me to speak. Wow. But as we get closer to Jesus and we recognize how he's orchestrating the whole thing, we will recognize that he will lead us to the women that we're supposed to serve. He will lead us to the men we're supposed to, the children. He will lead us to the next thing we're supposed to do. And we don't have to panic about this. We can trust him. Trust him. One of the things I love most about working for God is that by the time you get to the next step that he's calling you to do, he's got you experienced enough to actually consider it. And even if it's way out of your comfort zone, you actually have enough information in your head to consider it. Like for me, he's not going to call me to be a surgeon because I don't have it. I mean, it would all be miraculous. He might have a miracle worker, maybe, not a surgeon. But you know, when he calls you out of corporate, he calls you out of the workforce into a ministry or into something, an independent self-run business or whatever, you've got some skills that you're bringing with. And this is one of the things that you do best is you help women who come out of the workforce to really put a value on what they're bringing.
I think it's so important because our human nature is to move on to the next, you know, close one chapter, move on to the next, walk through a room, close the door, move into the next room. But like you said so perfectly, God uses the sum of our experiences to prepare us for the next mission. So if you have corporate and workplace experience, know that it will be used to start and maintain your ministry. So your corporate experience doesn't end when your ministry begins. Carry it with you. It's transferable. You know, we were talking about mission and vision statement. If you've worked in business, you're familiar with those. You won't be starting from scratch to create them. The network you've built in business, I've seen this, it remains intact. You may use it a little differently, but it's still there. You know, if you were a manager or a leader in the workplace, those people skills will definitely hold value in ministry. So God uses, we see this in the Bible. I have to talk about Elijah again for 1 second, but we see this in the Bible time and time again. But with Elijah, for example, you know, scholars think he was probably a shepherd because of where he came from, where he lived, where he grew up. And when he had to go into isolation for 18 months and his only company were the ravens bringing him food, that was not something that was new to him. He was very used to solitude. He was used to being alone. So God, you know, used his original experience to prepare him for his next mission, and he'll do the same for us. So I think it's important to remember that he's already equipped us. He's already equipped us.
And I like the phrase, he never wastes anything. If you've gone through really tough experiences, if you've had a bad boss, if you have, you know, whatever, if you have a story to tell, God's going to use that down the road somewhere. He's not going to waste any of your life experiences. He's got this whole pool that he's pulling from to use you going forward. So just trust that is true. We want to talk a minute about how to avoid overwhelm and discouragement. And you were just talking about Elijah being used to being alone. And, you know, that's one of the things that we as a culture don't spend a whole lot of time in isolation. That's why 2020 was so hard, is because all of a sudden we weren't used to that. And all of us have had a taste of that now, how that kind of feels to be stuck in our homes away from other people. And I know for me personally, I love body life. I just know that God created us to need each other, to need hugs, to need to be together, pouring into each other's lives and serving one another. But there is this when you start off on your own and you're no longer going into a group of pre-made relationships, this culture that you're leaving, you can easily get discouraged and feel lonely. And also just the many, many things that you want to get done as a new business owner or ministry leader can just be completely overwhelming. When you were going through that, or even when you still do, how do you get through it? What do you do?
The most helpful thing that I do is I go back to my starting point. So I go back to my why, that God is at the heart of what I'm doing. I also recognize that, you know, I'm feeling isolated, and it could be because, like you said, you know, maybe we're shut off from other people. Like for me, it's very fitting because where I live in Colorado in a very small rural town, I am isolated from, you know, I don't have a huge community around me. Or it could be because we're starting a ministry and we don't know anyone else who's doing that. So we feel isolated. So I think taking a step back to recognize that those feelings are coming on and going back to my why, but then also, you know, there are certain people that God's put in our lives as encouragers, as cheerleaders, and they're a phone call or a Zoom, you know, call away. And I know that I can turn to certain people who can say, hey, remember we talked about this. God called you to do this and I'm here. I'm excited for you. What's going on? You know, what's not working? How can I pray for you? So I think it's important to remember that we have community. They may not be walking through exactly what we're walking through with starting a ministry, but God's put them in our life, you know, for a reason. And we need to remember that. And we also need to recognize that part of it is normal. And part of it is the enemy. You know, he likes to get us isolated and away from community so that he can try to pick us off. And so he can try to cause us to doubt, you know, where God has placed us and what he's called us to do in our ministry. So I think remembering our why, reaching out to the people who are encouragers in our life, recognizing the enemy's role, and also recognizing that part of the process when we make a big transition is kind of wrestling with those doubts and things like isolation and feeling alone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think for the overwhelm part, one of the things that I always encourage speakers when I'm welcoming them to womenspeakers.com is there's so much to do. You know, there's so you're supposed to be reaching out to planners and preparing your talks and many, many, many things to do. And I always just say that verse that says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Yeah. And I like to remember that if I was in the woods, and I knew kind of where I was heading, but I had to make my way through the woods on a little path, I would have a flashlight and I wouldn't get to see the whole way there. I only get to see the next couple of steps, really. That's how far a lamp goes, just not all that far out in front of me. But if I can remember that God's got the whole plan already passed out for me, and that I can just follow him step by step, then the overwhelm comes back down. And that doesn't mean we don't feel it still. And I always say there's the peace that comes in here when you're looking at impossible circumstances, but God is telling you, I've got this. I've got you. I've got this. There's peace that comes here. But your subconscious mind is still hammering away on, I think you're in danger. I think you're in danger.
Yeah.
So you don't worry if you feel peace here, but your brain's just going a million miles a minute. That's okay. It's just how God built us. And just keep releasing those thoughts and praising him that he has got you, that he's got this whole plan. And one of the things I do, I set a timer. At the beginning of the year, I was doing it for 20 minutes. Now I'm down to 15 minutes at a time when I'm not like on air or in meetings. I set this timer when I'm doing projects just so that every few minutes I can check in with Jesus, because otherwise I can go sometimes 2-3 hours just focused, you know, totally focused on a project. And sometimes I just think I want to have him more involved. I want to give him permission to interrupt me. I want to allow him to say, you know, you really actually need to take a break. Stop.
<Yeah. laughs>
Or call somebody or whatever. And so I'm finding it really helpful with the overwhelm to just give God more of a say in my day. And the only way I can do it at this point is to set a timer, because otherwise the time just flies by and I forget.
That's a great idea. That's a really great idea, because he wants to be involved at that level, you know, if
he does moment by moment. Yeah.
Yeah. If we're willing to listen and invite him in, he's going to show up. So I love that idea.
And I even think starting, and this is, I think how I started, was about an hour. I would do an hour at the top of the hour and set the timer. And then I kind of worked it down. And just recently I went from 20 to 15. And I was like, you know, I wonder if someday I'll just have this as my habit, like to just be in constant. And I always thought I was, but there would be long stretches of time that I didn't. And so anyway, I'm just enjoying it so much. And I think it does help with the encouragement too, to bring back, I would say, God, talk to me about this from your perspective, because things can look completely overwhelming and hopeless, but he's got it. And when I talk to him about it from his perspective, peace comes.
That is so true. He has to be the starting point. We always go back to that starting point, then the peace comes.
Yep. The start, the middle, and the end, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what is the simple, surprising truth that might save the day? I'm so curious.
So my advice to kind of wrap this up is that people shouldn't discount the practical. So God works through practical, doable steps. And we see this in the Bible too, over and over.
Absolutely.
Think about Noah and how God told him to build the ark, how Solomon built the temple, how Jesus called the 12, God himself, how he worked to create us and life. You know, we serve a God of order and structure. And as we've been talking about, Marnie, as believers, of course we pray. We invite the Holy Spirit's guidance and discernment. But God has also given us the ability to reason and to be strategic and practical. And the reason I think it's important to remember that is because we have a lot of those skills that are very essential to starting and maintaining a ministry, but we often discount them. You know, things like setting goals, setting deadlines, making a task list for the day. You know, those are the same basic things that are going to happen to start and run a ministry. And those are the same things that will help ensure that our ministry has a strong, successful foundation. Yeah. So very simple, but I think it's important, like you were talking about overwhelm, when we start to feel that way, chunk things down into doable steps. You know, that old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. It applies and it's true.
It does. It does. Mine is when it's in my head, it's a million things to do. When I write it down, it's only 122. And but you know, I mean, it's like when it's in your head, it feels completely impossible.
Yes.
But
it's
when
chaotic.
When you write it down and you get it, I use Excel a lot because I can do the calculations in Excel. And for years, what I did, and now it's gotten so it's almost second nature, but for years, I actually did, how long will this take? How much will this cost? How many will this affect? And that was kind of how I did my calculation there, based on what should I do first, you know?
Yeah.
I should do the people that will get affected the most with the least investment down here, your low hanging fruit, you know, and then you do your other tasks in that order kind of, and you do the emergency things or the daily, you know, you have your routines that you do every day, your basics. I always answer my emails in a reasonable period of time. I always answer, you know, phone messages in a reasonable period of time, or give them a heads up that I'm not going to be able to. You know, I mean, there are basics that you have to do, but then beyond that, there's actually a lot of choices that we make every day. And it's coming up with a way to make those choices. And I always say, you know, you do the calculation and then you put the calculation in front of God and you say, is this what you want me to do? Because sometimes He ignores the numbers completely and he's all about the one person, you know. He's all about, like, I know there's a bunch of sheep over there, but go for that one.
So, that's so fun.
Yeah. So, but that's not your normal day. Your normal day isn't going to be making the exception. Your normal day is going to be the rule. And I was just thinking about it yesterday, how 365 days a year, the sun comes up, but the sun goes down. And it's so predictable that they can make charts as to what minute that's going to happen in case you want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's like, it's so cool.
Mind blowing. Yeah.
I know, it is mind blowing how technical and consistent God is. He's so consistent and technical. And so when we're making plans, there's nothing wrong with that. God loves plans. And in fact, the Bible talks so much, like you were giving illustrations about making plans. And then, but then holding the plan in the open hand and letting him do what he's going to do. And if we don't, then we miss the opportunity to be blessed there. But this is so wonderful. I think helpful for probably everybody, even if they're not going from corporate. Thanks so much for sharing. Do you have a last thought that you want to, maybe a favorite Bible verse or something you want to close us with here?
I think that what's been on my mind and my heart about this is, if someone is thinking about starting a ministry, I just want to encourage them. And I want them to realize that it is very doable. And that, and you know, I hope that the steps we've given allow them to see that it's entirely possible. And, you know, I just want to breathe hope and encouragement into the person who's listening, who's been toying with this. God's been tugging at their heart and they've been afraid to do it. So my hope is that what we've offered can bring that to light, because God has a plan, and listen to his voice and trust him.
I love that. Yeah. I always say, I don't want to run ahead, but I also don't want to fall behind. I just want to walk with Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, well, this has been just such a delight. You guys want to check out Peggy's website and her ministry over at peggybonnie.com. And when they get over there, Peggy, what are they going to find?
They will find resources about leadership and management and a lot of biblical encouragement. And they can also contact me through the website if they would like to receive some free leadership or career coaching.
Wow, you can't pass that up. So thank you so much for being here, Peggy. And thanks you guys for being here. Just love sharing these times with you. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.